Maria, can you remind us of the accusations against you? What are they, and what were you arrested for most recently?
First, there's so many. In 14 months, the Philippine government has filed 11 cases and investigations against Rappler. In about 3 months, I've posted bail 8 times. I've been arrested twice in just a little over a month. The charges are crazy. I've run out of synonyms for the word ridiculous, ludicrous. The first time I got arrested was for a case on cyber libel. It's for a story we did in 2012 that was published before the cyber libel law was even enacted. The second time I was arrested was for something called the anti-dummy law for violating that. It means that I was acting essentially as an agent for a foreigner. Most of the 11 cases stem out of one act, which is when we gave an investment to Omidyar Network. Every other case stems from that. There are 5 tax evasion charges from that transaction that the government has filed. I've been arraigned last week on this, on 4 of the tax evasion charges. There's a lot at stake. Those 4 tax evasion charges, each one carries a minimum of 2 years and a maximum of 10 years. So if I lose on 4 charges, there are 5, that would be 40 years in prison, right? The anti-dummy law carries a maximum charge of 15 years in prison. Again, I can only laugh because I'm not a criminal. My only crime is to be a journalist, and I will continue speaking truth to power.
Can you tell us what happened on Wednesday? I know that's the day that you were arraigned, and then you came here shortly after.
Yeah, it was a 24-hour day. I began in Manila with an arraignment for criminal charges, 4 charges of tax evasion. It was actually, it gave me some hope. It's in front of 3 judges in the Court of Tax Appeals. It was professionally done. I hope that there will be a sense of justice for me in that, right? But then that was also the time when I finally got approval to travel to Perugia. My plane was leaving at 6:30 that night. So from court, I went to the office to do a management meeting and then ran to the airport. So it was like I started the day, the 24-hour period in Manila facing tax evasion charges, and ended it in front of these journalists. That's part of the reason I also fought hard to come, because we need a clarion call for journalists all around the world who care about the quality of democracy, who care about the principles of journalism, and the way we evolve will help create not just a future of journalism, but what our democracies will look like.
Did you have any issues getting out of the Philippines, actually flying out when you were at the airport?
No, but I had to get approval from 6 different courts to be able to travel. And slowly I'm feeling my rights getting hemmed in. And I think this is why my other challenge is anger management. I feel a sense of injustice that I have to deal with these things, but bring it. This is a battle for the quality of democracy of the Philippines. As long as our constitution is in place, it's patterned after the United States. We have a Bill of Rights. Freedom of the press is enshrined, freedom of expression. We will not cede ground lightly.
Do you feel at risk on a day-to-day basis?
It's become an oppressive atmosphere. We've had to increase security because we're surrounded by violence. There's a brutal drug war. That's real-world violence, and online violence, hate used to incite hate. Journalists being the target. I've been a target of as many as 90 hate messages per hour. That's insane. I mean, this is kind of a psychological warfare that we've never dealt with before. We could hide behind our news groups, right? There's no way to do that in this day and age.
What happens next in the case against you?
I've had the first arraignment. There are 11 more. So, a lot of my time, I mean, the reason why these cases have been filed is it's a war of attrition as well, right? What I hope to do is that we continue our focus. We continue doing hard-hitting investigative news stories. We continue doing civic engagement. We need to make sure that we're resilient. I think this is what our societies have to deal with. How can we create resilient communities against exponential lies and have those communities be able to hold our governments to account?
And just as a last question, what is your message to fellow journalists?
In our end, what we've found is the best thing we can do is to continue to shine the light. And you empower us by telling our stories. We're also a cautionary tale for you. Cambridge Analytica, the most compromised accounts were in the United States. The second country that had the most compromised accounts was the Philippines. We're the canary in the coal mine for you. Democracies can turn overnight. You can lose rights very quickly. And I'm shocked at what's happened to the Philippines. So hold the line. I always say, hold the line. I think we need to demand accountability. We need to stop impunity. Those are the two main things. And whether it's in the Philippines or the United States, that's a good rallying cry.
Thank you so much, Maria. It was so inspiring to hear from you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.